Hello and welcome to Insanely Criminal. I'm Jem.
And I'm Emma.
And we are back again. You survived your first two episodes that you wrote. Well, one
Did.
episode, but two parts.
Yeah, I did. I listened back to the second part and I'm like, actually, it sounds all right. I don't sound like. I thought I was going to come across as like cripplingly nervous, but I actually just sound okay. So that's good.
And we got lots of feedback actually saying that it was a good episode and
Ah.
that everyone learned so much
That's
because no one
good.
knew that much about it. So
Excellent.
well done.
What more could you ask for?
Exactly. You
Excellent.
did a very good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully, I've got the bars set now though, so I've got to be as good or better next time. So the pressure is
Just
just
got to
like
keep going bigger and
the
bigger.
difficult second album now. Now, how am I going to follow up
Oh
my
yeah.
debut?
You're Bonnie and Clyde, baby.
God Almighty!
You'll be
I'll be
fine.
yeah.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Thank you. I'll give it a try.
So, I think we've spoken already. We are having a beer this week.
Yes.
We are
Yep. It's beer time. It's
I
Friday.
branched out after your, five and below is a no go. So I've gone for the 6.5.
Five or below. Oh God, I forgot about that. Quite proud of that.
Forever lives on in my mind. That's how I live my life now with everything. It's a five and below.
No
It's a no
go.
go.
Yep.
So, are we ready
Yeah.
to hear about this crazy tale?
Yeah, I've researched nothing about this, so all of this is going to be a surprise for me. So
Oh, I
I'm
know,
quite
because you said, I
excited.
don't know anything about it.
So I'm excited.
Okay,
I'm excited.
so. Oh, we'll see. It might be really badly written. You've set the bar too high
Give
now, so.
over. You're a pro at this.
I
I'm just, I'm still a newbie. I'm still finding my feet with this.
No, you've started with the bar set very high,
Started
so I've got to keep
strong.
up now.
Well, bring it on. Let's do it.
Okay, so this week we are in Arizona in 2008. And obviously it's a grim story. Everyone's here for the crime, so. But it's also a confusing tale at times and one that some people are still on the fence about. So this week it's the case of Travis Alexander and Jody Arias. Ooh, so you know nothing?
Nope.
People are probably listening, going, ah, we've heard this.
Well, I am not one of those people, so.
Okay. So on June 9th, 2008, friends of Travis Alexander became worried as they had not seen or heard from him in days. He had been scheduled to take a trip to Mexico with a female friend, but she had not been able to contact him either. Perplexed, friends decided to check his house, and what they found would be something that they will never forget. They went upstairs to his bedroom where they saw blood everywhere. As they walked in, they saw Travis in the shower cubicle, dead and covered in blood.
Oh dear.
So we're already there.
Straight into the action on this one. There's
Straight
no slow build up. It's just bang. First couple of minutes.
mean, you've just got to start strong with these
Well,
sometimes.
you said the bar was set. You're smashing the bar already.
Oh, I'm kicking it down. I've got a lot to live up to now. His friends were panicked and they called 911 and they said, "A friend of ours is dead in his bedroom. We hadn't heard from him in a while. We think he's dead. There's a lot of blood." The dispatcher told them all to leave the house and wait outside. As they did, she asked the friends on the line if he had been depressed lately, could he have taken his own life? They said he had been depressed, but they did not think that he would take his own life. And when asked why he was depressed, the friend said he had just broken up with his girl, who had been making his life a misery, and they gave the name Jody. Oh. we're getting there. We're getting there.
Interesting.
No. So quite quickly, the police arrived at the scene and searched the house. They quickly determined that the cause of death was homicide, as Travis had sustained 27 to 29 stab wounds and had been shot once in the head, and his throat had been slashed from ear to ear and was gaping open.
Ugh.
I hope nobody's eating.
Oh, no, my tea. That's just like not cook you off. When you really want to make sure someone's dead, like...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Triple killing someone, basically.
Yeah, it is. I never thought of it like that, but yeah, it's like a triple kill.
Yeah.
Three ways to kill somebody. But to slash someone's throat from ear to ear after stabbing them or... and shooting them. You know, it's just a bit wild.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, just a bit. So Travis also had defense wounds on his hands. So we know that he obviously tried to fight back. Mm. Friends gave detectives the name of Travis Alexander's ex-girlfriend, Jodi Arias, who was living in California at the time. As they waited to contact Jodi, police searching the home found a digital camera in the washing machine with a memory card still inside. This camera was full of photos of Travis and Jodi. In some of the photos, they were having sex. Some were of Travis in the shower. And then finally, one was of Travis dead in the shower.
Oh my gosh.
I just want to say as well, these photos, you can Google them and see them. I'm not telling anybody to, but they are freely available to see.
Oh my god, that's really bad actually.
It is. Some of them aren't very well censored either, so you can fully see everything. Because sometimes with these cases, I will look. I shouldn't. but I do.
In the name of research.
Because I'm like, yeah, sometimes it just pops up, like, on whatever website you're on. And, but yeah, these ones are just, they were a bit too graphic for me because most of the time, you know, the crime scenes are really censored.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one wasn't. So they've clearly been leaked.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, which isn't great, you know, for his family either. Knowing
no,
that that's,
you think that...
You just have to type in, Travis Alexander, dead, and it comes up on Google.
You'd think that they'd be taken down, really.
Yeah, but there's, like, thousands of them, so if not more. It's wild. Okay, so we'll settle down a bit now. We'll get away from the murder for just a second. So we're going to look at the lives of Travis and Jodi, just to get a better grip of who they are. Travis was born in Riverside, California on July 28, 1977. He was raised within a Mormon family and was well respected in the Mormon church up until he died. Or well, when he was killed. When he was 11, he moved in with his paternal grandparents. His father died in 1997, and his seven siblings moved in with their grandparents also.
Seven siblings, jeez.
Oh, I have one and that is enough.
Yeah, I have one.
Travis was a motivational speaker for a company called Prepaid Legal Services, and this is how he met Jodi Arias. Jodi was born in Salinas, California in 1980. She met Travis in 2006 at the Prepaid Legal Conference in Las Vegas. And very quickly, in November of the same year, Jodi converted to Mormonism and Travis baptized her in Southern California. That's very quick after you've met somebody.
Yeah.
Like, September to November. I don't even know if I really like somebody in that.
Oh, no, and, you know... Mormonism is quite, that's a big commitment, you know, that's not, you have to give up a lot, I think.
Yeah, You'd have to really change your life for somebody. I mean, it's not for me. No offence if it's for anybody listening, but it's not for me. But I think, obviously, Jodie did this to impress Travis, in my opinion. Mm. Like, she wanted to get closer to him because she was so infatuated with him straight away. So she probably thought, why not? Why not?
What's the worst that could happen?
Well,
we shall see.
They didn't officially begin dating until February 2007. Wow. And Jodie moved to Mesa, Arizona to be closer to Travis. Although she did eventually move back to Yreka, California to live with her grandparents. So everything is happening very, very quickly in their relationship.
It's stressing me out just like hearing about it. It's too fast. I can't take it.
But their relationship, I mean, it sounds like so so big and so fast, but they were just on and off completely for their whole relationship. They were never constantly together. And during this time, they traveled to many states in the US, and they appeared to be like ultimate couple goals on camera. But friends of Travis said the complete opposite. They said Jodie was the jealous type and would often harass Travis. And they had nothing but negative opinions of Jodie and said that the relationship was tumultuous at best. But despite this, Jodie and Travis spoke twice a day on the phone and exchanged, wait for it, over 82,000 emails with each other in 18 months.
That's, I can't even comprehend that. I'm sure there's some maths there that how many that works out per day. Like,
oh God.
That's too much. That is just, I mean, and that's the understatement of the century. Like, that's just ridiculous. And even speaking to someone twice a day, that's a bit weird.
Oh God. Yeah, like on the phone. I mean, text, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Text someone all day.
Phone calls a day.
But actual phone calls, that's, I mean, I'm thinking of it like if you're on a phone call, like, I don't know, you're talking to them for an hour. If it's like a quick, what do you want for tea? Or where am I meeting you? That's obviously fine. But like, if you're like having an actual full-on conversation twice a day, that's a little odd.
Yeah, you'd have to be so busy to have things to talk about, though.
Yeah, like
what would you say?
Yeah, you've run out of stuff to say.
But you really would, and that's the thing. And no shade to my mum if she is listening. She probably isn't. But she phones me every single day, and I'm like, I don't have anything to talk about today. I've done nothing.
Especially at the moment. It's so, like, I mean, oh, just, you know, I went for a walk again.
Yeah, I went to the fridge and back four times. I still didn't find anything.
I did my food shopping. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I've got to finish mine after this and put that beer on that you recommended. So.
Definitely.
That'll give me something to talk about.
Yes, definitely it will.
So Travis and Jodie technically broke up in June 2007, but they still maintained a physical relationship with each other. In December 2007, Travis began seeing another woman. Obviously, Jodie did not like this. And friends say that she slashed the tyres on Travis's car and sent harassing emails to the woman he had been seeing.
Oh my gosh.
Lovely. Jodie sounds like a barrel of fun.
Yeah, she sounds like the ideal girlfriend, to be honest.
A couple goals.
That's the power of social media, though. That it's a highlight reel, isn't it? So it's people only see what you want them to see.
Yeah, exactly. And I always say this to people when you see couples who are like overly loving with each other.
Yep.
I think that's just completely
yep.
false.
Well, it's, I agree. I feel like it's, you're trying to prove a point.
Yeah, completely. I'll tell you what else I hate, just going off topic on social media. You know when people get engaged
yep.
and they post a picture of the ring and it says, I said yes.
Ugh.
I mean, why is the ring on your finger? We know.
My, no, so on that, my thing is when people say he liked it, so he put a ring on it. Ugh. Don't
oh.
ever, anyone listening, if you post that, I'm not going to like it, basically.
My friend sent me a screenshot of someone on Facebook before who called their girlfriend their baby's mummy, and I honestly vomited in my mouth. Oh, it made me so
I hate, like, twee relationship stuff like that. Maybe, ooh. Maybe in private, okay. But, like,
yeah.
It just makes me just want to vomit when you see it on social yep. media. But each to their own, you know. Let people
yeah we're not here to judge
do what you need to do or want to do, just don't expect me to like it, that's all.
Yeah, same, we are in yes. agreement.
Anyway,
Travis became worried in June 2008. He was still in a physical relationship with Jody, but he claimed she kept hacking his Facebook account and had even told friends that if anything happens to him, it'll probably be Jody's fault.
Oh, my God.
I know. On June 13th, Jody posted a photo gallery on her MySpace titled In Loving Memory of Travis.
Oh, God.
So, obviously, that was soon after the body was found. And I was more shocked that it was 2008 and people were still, like, on MySpace.
Yeah.
I thought that died long before.
I used to go on it when 2005, 2006, I'd say. So, yeah. To about 2005
yeah,
to 2007.
I think I was still on it then.
I think it was my heyday of MySpace.
The heyday. Jody appeared at first to be really helpful to officers after they had called her in for questioning. And she had also volunteered to give her fingerprints. On the phone call, she said she would do anything to help and that she would never do anything to hurt Travis. So she came in for questioning. At this point, Jody did not know that officers investigating the murder had the digital camera that placed her at the scene. The video of Jody in the questioning room is obviously still up on YouTube if you want to watch it. You can make your own judgments. But to me, it's so odd. It's one of, maybe not the oddest thing I've ever seen. It's up there as one of the oddest videos of a questioning I've ever seen. It's very, very strange. So, you know, if I was being questioned about the murder of my ex-boyfriend, I don't know how I would act. But for Jody, she thought it was completely reasonable to do yoga and do headstands while waiting for officers to come back in the room.
What?
Yeah.
Starting to get
it's really
a
wild.
Little bit strange.
Hmm. She also went through the trash and was, like, looking at what was in there, like, studying it. And, in an even weirder twist, she sang a Dido song. Remember Dido?
I do remember Dido. Which Dido song was
she
it?
Sang? I can't remember which one it was.
The people need to know. But
I know. I should have found it. We could have had that as, like, the intro music. Everyone would tune off.
I know.
I know. So Jody, she must have known that she was being recorded during this interview, because who doesn't think they're being recorded while you're being questioned by the police? It's just a standard practice. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think when I watched it that she was trying to act a part. And in her mind, was she already thinking, oh, I'm going to use this as my defense in court, like to kind of plead some form of insanity? But who knows? During some parts, Jodie has rested her head on the table and appears to be asleep whilst waiting for the detectives to enter. So she quickly puts her head down, and then as soon as they come in, and it's only been like a couple of minutes, she's pretending that she's been asleep and that she's very, very relaxed. It's very odd. Yeah. She was also overly friendly with the officer, and she was very softly spoken and appeared to be vulnerable. She almost seemed to be kind of flirting with them, which
Oh,
was,
God,
again,
that's just a bit weird.
yeah, it's just Jodie. I mean, it just gets weirder for Jodie, unfortunately. So they tell Jodie that the camera had been found, which places her at the scene, and she was shown photos that were found. She said it could not be her. And she said the naked photo she was being shown of herself did look like her a little bit. She was like, oh, it does look like
But
me.
it's not me.
But it's clearly her. Unfortunately, those photos are online too.
No.
Oh, I know. Officer Flores then went on to say that he had seen all of Jodie in the photos, but he had also seen all of Travis. He then showed Jodie the photo of Travis. She was told that all of the photos were time-stamped and definitely placed her at the scene. And she said that she had no reason to ever hurt Travis because he had never hurt her or raped her. So keep that in your mind
Okay.
that Jodie has said that. And the timestamps kind of make me feel a little bit sick, just because of how quickly this all escalated. So at 5:30 p.m., there is a photo of Travis in the shower, 100% alive. But at 5:32 p.m., there is a photo of him dead in the shower.
What?
Yeah, it's all time stamped. So in 2 minutes or less, that completely went south.
God.
Yeah, it's just wild. And I mean, for me, I'll go into it now, but it shows premeditation for me.
Absolutely.
And definitely, it's just, well, what could happen in 2 minutes that would escalate things that
And
quickly?
like, why would you?
That would have to be in your mind.
Why would you like take a photo of him in the shower, like in the first place, and then take? He's like some kind of weird before and after.
Yeah,
What?
that's what it
Like, why
seems
would you
like, doesn't
do
it?
that if you were? Well, God knows.
I mean, take a photo of him in the shower alive, that's fine, but why would you take a photo of him dead? Like, I never understood why this happened. It was just, I don't know. I think part of me thinks that she wanted to be caught. I
Yeah.
don't know. So she also told Officer Flores that if she were going to kill someone, she clearly would have used gloves. Okay, Jodie.
Not helping yourself.
Jodie also. Yeah,
Well, if I was gonna do it,
exactly. Can you
obviously I'd do it.
imagine?
All right, okay. So you've thought about doing this.
I'd have a hazmat suit
Oh,
on
jeez.
at least. She stated that the last time she saw Travis was in April 2008, after she had broken up with him because they both had jealousy issues. She also said that if Travis was here, he would say that she did not do it. Officer Flores said he was speaking for Travis, and Travis was telling him that Jodie did it. Jodie was formally charged with the first degree murder of Travis Alexander. And if you think it couldn't get random enough, Jodie, as she was being cuffed, she asked officers if she could have her bag so that she could do her makeup before taking her mugshot.
I mean,
Jody.
That to me seems less weird than some other stuff. Because if I'm just thinking, if you're in that mindset and you're like, well, I'm going down, my mugshot's going to be everywhere, I want to look my best.
Yeah.
You know, I can kind of understand that. But it's still.
Yeah, kind of.
It definitely smacks of like you're being arrested for first degree murder. That this suggests that A, you are guilty, and B, you feel zero remorse if your first thought is, I want to look good for my mugshot. So I can understand
but I
think it cements the fact that she's like very guilty.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at pictures of Jodie, I mean, she's very pretty, very, very pretty, and she always had makeup on. But then if you look at Jodie on trial, it's a completely different person. It's like a complete polar opposite of what Jodie looked like. She was very meek, if you know what I mean. She kind of looked like a little old librarian. Yeah. It was definitely playing a part. There was more evidence than just the photos. So remember, Jodie voluntarily gave her fingerprints and DNA as evidence, and she really wanted to help the police. Well, there was a bloody handprint found on the wall, which contained the DNA of Jodie and Travis.
Oh, God.
Exactly. I mean, she should have wore those damn gloves.
Well, just like
Jodie.
Sloppy. Sloppy murder.
Her hair was also found in the shower, and that obviously came back as Jodie's
hair. That's what would bang me for rights, because my hair like gets everywhere. Because I have long hair.
I mean, everywhere I've been.
It's all over the place, so I would never get away with the murder. Because
me and the cat, I mean.
Yeah, my hair would just be all over that crime scene.
Yeah, absolute same. I would have to, I mean, if I was going to commit a murder, obviously I'd wear gloves because Jodie said I'd have to wear gloves. But you'd have to
I was just going to say, you'd just like shave your head, really, wouldn't you? Not that I'm planning anything, you understand. I could never shave my head. I love my hair. So.
Oh, no. I couldn't either. So, Jodie was definitely at the scene of the crime. And the case against her was building very quickly. Although, she still maintained her innocence. Police investigating also noticed Jodie had an injury on her hand. At first, she blamed her cat, but then said she got the injury whilst working at a bar called Margaritaville. So I said before that I think this is all premeditated and the evidence is definitely there. On June 2nd, Jodie rented a car from Budget Rent-A-Car in Redding, California. Whilst renting the car, she asked for a colour that would not be recognisable or stick out, because apparently she didn't want to get a speeding ticket. Jodie also took the plates off the car. Again, she said it was to avoid getting a ticket. But in the back of the car, Jodie placed jerry cans full of fuel so that she would not have to stop on her way to Mesa. And this would avoid filling up the car and would not place her anywhere near Mesa. A week before the murder, Jodie's grandparents' home was burgled, and the only thing that had been stolen was a 25 caliber pistol, the same gun used to shoot Travis in the head. Jodie said that on June 4th, she did visit Travis. She said they had sex and took photos of each other, but she left. And you'll see a pattern during this case of Jodie changing her story quite often. And so this is the first story that she will tell. Because, you know, she did say, I haven't seen Travis since April. Now she's saying, oh, yeah, I did see him. A couple of days before the murder.
Oh,
Very fishy, Jodie.
I forgot that I... Sorry. Apologies.
Slipped my mind. On June 5th, Jodie drove to the home of her old fling, Ryan Burns, who lived in West Jordan, Utah. He would later go on to say that he noticed the injury on her hand, but he brushed it off, and so did Jodie. Ryan later testified that Jodie was very aggressive sexually towards him. I know. On June 7th, Jodie returned the rental car. The people at the rental business noticed something very different about Jodie upon her return. When she had rented the car, her hair was bright blonde. But on her return, her hair was brown. Did Jodie dye her hair to change her appearance so that no one would notice or recognise her? Some people say she may have done this to become a different person. If she was going to Mesa to kill Travis, she may have wanted to become a different person so that it would seem as if she had not committed the murder. Mm-hmm. After the murder, Jodie also left a voicemail on Travis's phone, sounding jovial and happy, talking about inside jokes and hoping he was well. Yet another track covered by Jodie. So that's all the premeditated stuff that she's done. I mean, first with the gun, really. I mean, it starts with that. Burgling her own home.
Yes.
Only taking a gun. I mean, if I was going to burgle somebody, I think I'd take the TV.
Yeah, you'd want it if you're trying to make it look like a real burglary, I think put a little bit more effort into that.
Yeah, and it should have seemed fishy too, because you think people who have guns, I don't have one, obviously, but they're usually kept somewhere quite secure that only the owner knows.
So it'd
about.
Have to be someone that knew where to look. If that's all they do.
Yeah. I wonder if it was Jodie. She should have worn gloves again. Maybe she did this time. That's why they found nothing. On July 9th, Jodie was indicted on first-degree murder charges and was sent to jail. Jodie entered a not guilty plea on September the 11th, 2008. The next day, she still protested her innocence, saying she would never hurt Travis. Jodie still sat in jail awaiting trial. By August 16th, 2011, Jodie had asked if she could represent herself in trial and that she wanted to show letters Travis had written as evidence. Judge Sherry Stevens allowed this, but said that she would have to keep her public defenders as advisory counsel. But this was eventually withdrawn because the letters were deemed to be false. And by December, her counsel had been fully reinstated. I know, it's just when you think it just can't get any stupider, this really does, and it's... Oh. But the trial itself, it began on January 2nd, 2013. The plan of her defence counsel was to use domestic violence as their argument. They knew Jodie had killed Travis. There was no way out of that, obviously, because of the evidence. But they wanted to prove what motivated her. Jennifer Wilmot said in her defence opening argument that Travis was abusive towards Jodie. He would pressurise her into having anal and oral sex constantly. She brought up the emails from Travis saying he fit the mould for a domestic abuser. He would treat Jodie like a piece of trash and would use her only for sex. Jodie's new story was that Travis was in fact a domestic abuser, despite previously saying that he had never hurt her and that she had no motivation for killing him.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah. Another story changed by Jodie. No one saw that coming. The defence said that when they were taking photos, Jodie dropped the camera. And Travis became enraged with Jodie, screaming at her that, quote, a five-year-old could hold a camera better than you. I mean...
Wow.
Nice story,
what
Jodie.
What an insult.
I know. I mean, oh, can you imagine? If someone said that to me, I would be like, the audacity. But Jodie said she was very scared and had to defend herself, or she would not be here to tell the story.
Such a... My heart bleeds for her.
I know. And it's one of them. When I first heard about this case, I was like, ah, what a scumbag. He treated her so badly. But, yeah, it's just Jodie, isn't it?
You just sound a little unhinged.
Yeah, ever so
slightly. Here's a random question.
The prosecution.
For you, before we continue. Yeah, a random question.
Let's do
it. If you are charged with murder and you plead guilty, do you still have to go on trial? Do you just need that, just like they go, right, you're guilty, you've admitted it, so off to jail you go? Do they just sentence you?
Yeah, so I think you'd have to go back and then come back to be sentenced at a later date. I'm pretty sure. I think it's much quicker here. There always seems to be like a massive backlog in these American cases. I mean, you think Travis was murdered in 2008 and the trial started in 2013. Yeah, it's wild how long that people sit there. I mean, I don't care about Jodie.
Well, no.
Waiting, but, like,
yeah, I was going to say, if you're innocent and you have to sit there for that long knowing that you haven't done something.
Yeah, then, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of these cases too, like, especially if it's a brutal child murder, like the lawyers for the defence will sometimes say, just plead guilty so that we don't have to take this to trial. No one has to see any evidence and you're just sentenced. And sometimes it goes in their favour. So
yeah,
they'll
I was going to say,
time.
If you plead guilty, surely you get maybe slightly reduced sentence.
Yeah, you might get 200 years in America instead of 300. So the prosecution called Maria Hill. She was a friend of Travis's who said, she had gone to church with him for years and she had never seen him display any sort of temper and always felt safe with him. On January 3rd, Detective Flores was brought to the stand and questioned. Audio was played of the phone call he had with Jodie, where she said she was a good friend of Travis's and would do anything she could to help. Photos of the crime scene were shown in court, especially the photos of Travis's throat gaping open. And when that was shown, Jodie wept in her seat. Which
is
I
she,
found
is she feel a little guilty, perhaps?
Oh, possibly. Maybe she's scared.
Is there
herself.
A shred of remorse there?
Well, I don't think there will be. Not from Jodie. Sex tapes of Travis and Jodie were also shown in court, and this was a big deal because Travis was a Mormon elder and you are supposed to wait until marriage before having sex. So I just found it odd that they would play a sex tape in court.
Seems a bit gratuitous, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like really going
is
over
that
the top gonna
here. Add much to the case?
That's
you could
thing,
just say they made a sex tape together. You don't have to actually play the sex tape.
I know, you'd just be thinking, I hope this is only 2 minutes.
I'm not sitting through 20 minutes of this.
And his family were there too.
So then that's like almost, you know, they're obviously grieving the loss of their son, their brother, whatever. And they've got to sit through watching a sex tape of their dead son. That seems a bit
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
After you've already seen the photo of his throat wide open.
There's no then watch need a for that.
Oh, God, no. Jodie said, so because of, like, the waiting to have sex after marriage, she said that they would only ever have anal oral sex because it wouldn't seem
obviously.
Bad.
Obviously,
wouldn't
yeah.
feel bad. Friends of Travis's from the church said that they knew he was not a virgin, but that this never ruined his good name within the church. Everyone was waiting patiently for Jodie to take the stand. She had played a good part so far, and everyone wanted to know what she was going to say and what her version of events would be. And she took the stand earlier than anyone expected. And as she did, she appeared vulnerable, and essentially she just dragged Travis through the mud. You know, as if his family haven't been enough. You know, they've lost their son, their brother, their grandson. They've seen his throat slashed open and the goddamn sex tape. They now have to sit there and listen to Jodie talk shit about him. It's just give it up, Jodie. But Jodie said that Travis had abused her and said that she was his, quote, dirty little secret, and that Travis was sexually depraved. Shockingly, and this is probably one of the worst things she could have said, Jodie said she had caught him masturbating to photos of children, and that Travis had admitted he was sexually attracted to them.
Horrible.
I know. In this too, she also said that, he was, you know, a pedophile, but he sent me Spider-Man underwear and I still have them in my grandparents' home. And they searched it and nothing was ever found. Like, no trace. So, it's like, for
what
God's sake,
thing to say.
Yeah. But the next bit is kind of gross. But I'm going to say it anyway. So, as if a sex tape wasn't an eye-opener for everybody, a phone conversation between the two was played, where Travis and Jodie could be heard having phone sex. Travis tells Jodie he loved hearing her, quote, orgasm like a 12-year-old girl.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's gross. Whichever way we look at that, there's no way around it. And I don't know. Do I think Travis is a paedophile? I don't think so. I really don't.
That's a nasty thing to say, though. Oh, God.
I know. I typed it up and I was like, can I say
this? Horrific.
Yeah, I just thought it was important to put in, though, because of this tale that Jodie's telling. Yeah, we're going to have to move on from that now.
Podcast over. Okay.
We're done. We're never coming back.
Nope, that's it.
Yeah, so I don't know what to think of him saying that. I really don't think he was paedophile. I really don't.
Is it something that's just been, like, taken massively out of context? Or, like, something said in the heat of the moment? Which, I don't know why you would say a thing like that, even in the heat of the moment. That sounds just appalling and disgusting. But that's a strange one.
It really is. And I also thought, why was this phone conversation even recorded? Like, why was Jodie recording?
That's a really good point.
It was very, very odd.
Yes, please.
Let's move on from there. Oof. I might need another beer after this.
Whiskey and brandy after this.
And a long lie down. Just that one line, it can ruin your whole day. Jodie continued playing the part and tried to make the jury feel sorry for her. And like I said before, if you look at the photos of Jodie before the trial and during, you can see that she is playing the part like so, so well. She went on to say that Travis shook her and said, quote, "I am fucking sick of you." I mean, Travis, me too. I mean, I don't know. Then said that Travis had thrown her on the floor, kicked her repeatedly, and when she put her hands up to defend herself, he broke her finger. And this is when Jodie held up her hand to show that her ring finger was crooked. Which, if you watch that, I mean, this whole trial is like available to view. If you watch it, it reminds me of OJ when he put that glove on. And it was just like, oh, this doesn't fit. It kind of looks like she's moving her finger.
Her finger is obviously just crooked, and she's just like literally going, you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm pretending that my finger is broken.
It is the way she's holding it up and like looking really sad and nodding at the jury.
You broke my finger.
Jesus Christ, she slashed his throat. This is nothing. Juan Martinez questioned her and said she had now given three different stories. Jodie was now saying that she was in the house when Travis died, but two people came in and killed Travis.
In 2 minutes, yeah. Two people, two minutes.
Yeah, she said a man and a woman came in, killed Travis, and in that 2 minutes, decided that, oh, we won't bother
just leaving Jodie a witness. And she'd never thought to mention this previously or anything, this really key part of the evidence. Never thought that this was relevant to the case at all, of course.
I mean, it must have slipped her mind again. I mean, like a goldfish.
You know what? Now that you mention it, someone did murder him. Now I remember. Yeah, I saw him. Well, they didn't kill me. They just left me. And they know that I know that they killed him. But they just went off on the merry way. That's just how they get now.
And I took the photo of him dead as evidence.
Wild.
I just wanted like the end of this trial to be Jodie in the dark and just being like, oh maybe, shit, it was me, I'm sorry.
I just remembered. More outlandish. Like, you know what, it was aliens actually. It was aliens that came down and killed him and then just beamed away like instantly. And also, like, the Loch Ness Monster.
And the ghost. They left me. Oh, yeah, the Loch Ness Monster.
And a vampire. And, like, the Wolfman.
Everyone was there. It was...
If in doubt, blame it on ghosts.
That she forgot.
Well, there's no evidence because it was a ghost. So the ghosts don't have fingerprints. I don't know what you want me to say.
The ghost threw my hand against that wall.
Yeah, that's the ghost my DNA it, there. Obviously.
Right, if I'm ever on trial ghosts, or anything like this, I'm going to use the ghost.
Who killed him? Ghosts.
I'll give you a little wink from the doc.
Yeah.
It's got to be the ghost. Richard Samuels, a psychologist for the defense, was questioned for six whole days, and he concluded that Jodie was showing signs of fight or flight, which is why she could not remember any details about the evening, despite giving many different accounts. Samuels. I know. Samuels also diagnosed Jodie with PTSD. This is when Juan Martinez absolutely lost it in the courtroom and said he did not find Samuels credible and did not believe his diagnosis for Jodie because he had previously said that he had compassion for Jodie, which was true. Richard Samuels did say that. He was like, yeah, I think she's innocent. I feel really sorry for her. Psychotherapist Alice LaViolette said the email showed signs that Travis was an abuser. But clinical psychologist for the prosecution, Janine DeMart, said she could not find any evidence that Jodie had been abused by Travis and could not see any signs of PTSD. What she did see, however, was signs of borderline personality disorder, and she showed huge signs of immaturity. I mean, no
yeah, I don't think you need a psychotherapist to diagnose that, really, but...
Absolutely not. The BPD diagnosis stands up, and people suffering from this can often fear abandonment by people they love, which would be the classic case of Jodie in this trial. She knew Travis had dated other women, and she knew he was about to take a trip with a friend. So it's just, to me, a classic case of, I can't help you, so nobody will. After only 15 hours of deliberation, Jodie was found guilty of first-degree murder. The penalty phase began on May 16th, and the family of Travis Alexander were asked to provide victim impact statements, as this would guarantee a death penalty sentence for Jodie. During the penalty phase, Jodie held up a T-shirt that said, Survivor.
That's just like... Oh.
And said she would sell them.
That just makes a mockery of, like, so many things.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? And then she sold these, or she was going to sell these, and give the proceeds to a domestic abuse charity.
I mean...
I would be so offended.
We don't categorically know that she wasn't abused, but it seems very likely that she wasn't, because why would that be, why would that not be the first thing that you'd said?
Exactly. I mean, you would tell the police, he used to hit me, he used to threaten me, and you would just stick but to then, that story if that was true.
Would she no not say that, because then she'd be worried that that would make her look guilty, like she had a motive?
It's one of them, isn't it? And that's the thing for me, I think, because it's domestic abuse and we should always, always believe victims. I can't believe Jodie in this, because I think they were just, I don't know, they were just the wrong fit. They were not this perfect couple that she desperately wanted them to be. And I think she flipped it, that because he's not that into her, it's, well, he hits me, he does all this bad, these bad things to me.
Which is a really,
that's what I think.
Goes without saying, a really shitty thing to do.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, why would you lie about that? I just really hate it. But yeah, again, like what you said, we'll never, ever really know the full truth behind their relationship. But I don't think it was anything that Jodie was making out. But the jury remained hung 8-4. And a mistrial was called, and the retrial began on October 21st, 2014. And the jury began deliberating on February 12th, 2015. They were once again deadlocked 11-1 for the death penalty. The one person against it said that it felt sorry for Jodie. And finally, on April 13th, 2015, Judge Stevens sentenced Jodie to life in prison without parole. And as of 2016, Jodie sits in Arizona State Prison Complex in Perryville. And Jodie paints. and has sold art on eBay, which is run by her brother. And she has many, many fans and still protests her innocence. There are so many Facebook pages of Free Jodie Arias. Wow. It's unreal. Absolutely wild. So, yeah, that is the tale of Travis
that was
and Jodie Arias.
Very, very interesting. That was a really good one. Thank you. And I knew nothing about that. That was, yeah.
You
really
are welcome.
That. As much as you can enjoy a horrible crime.
Yeah. Ooh, I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm going to read some more about this evening, I think.
There's lots of documentaries about it as well. I watched quite a good one on Discovery Plus. I can't remember what it was called, but it was basically looking, yeah. I think, more at her innocence and things like that. It was more about her than it was about Travis. And I thought, well, I'll watch that because it's usually...
Yeah.
I wanted to see both sides of it. But I still came to the conclusion that she is a massive idiot.
There's so many holes in her story, and there's so many things yeah. that just can't be explained, and it doesn't quite add up for me.
No. But can you imagine?
Well, it's like what we were saying last time about the guy who had Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses. Like, imagine somebody comes into your house and asks about it, and you have to explain. Most of the time, I think no one's beyond redemption. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm almost like, should we completely write off criminals? No, we probably shouldn't. We should, like, rehabilitate them in the hope that they can be reintroduced yeah. to society. But then the other part of me is like, yeah, but do you really want to allow this person to profit off the lives that the people that they, like the family of the lives that they've took or whatever stuff they've done? So it's like, it's a really difficult one.
It is. I mean, I fully believe that people should be rehabilitated. I think that's a massive problem in this country that none of them are. But I think some crimes like this, I don't think I would trust Jodie.
I mean, yeah, there's that. There's people who are clearly always going to be a danger to society. So they should be locked up. Or,
completely.
Locked up. I don't agree with the death penalty personally. So.
No, I don't. I used to when I was younger, but then I was like, oh, there's so many holes in
this. That's it. I think it's... I've never agreed with it because I've always been in a very, very simplistic view. Like, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't. And also, it's like, if someone yeah. really is guilty, like, giving them the death penalty is almost letting them get away with it in a way. Because then they don't have to live with what they've done.
Yeah. Exactly, and I don't see the point of the death penalty in, like, we've seen how yeah. long this case took to go to trial. I mean, people are sat on death row for like
it's
30
just, it's
plus
ridiculous.
Years. Yeah, it's like just put them down.
Yeah, and just prison, like, if the whole argument is that they're a danger to society, okay, we'll imprison them for life then, but. I just there's so many problems with the justice system that you cannot have complete faith that the people that you're killing are genuinely guilty. That's too much responsibility for people.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be on a jury and then asked to decide.
Have you ever been called up for
jury
service?
There's actually a good.
No, I haven't either.
No, I haven't ever. Someone in work went a couple of weeks ago, and that was she was there for like 10 days. so it must have been a good one. But yeah, right, and I'm
like, it's one of my like low key worries because I'm so indecisive. I'm like, I will be terrible on a jury. Like, please don't ever call me up because I just can't make decisions and I'd be agonizing over it for weeks. And I'd be the guy that's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Or I'd be the one that goes the other way to everyone else. So
someone said to me once that I'd be useless on a jury because I would just start feeling sorry.
Notoriously want to believe that people are inherently good and that I want to see the best in people.
Yeah.
So I think I'd end up being like, oh, I'm not sure if they're guilty, but like, there's reasons why. I want to like rationalize people's behavior and understand why they've done things. And I just,
definitely.
So, UK government, please do not call me up for jury service because the trial will go on for about 15 years because I will not be able to make a decision. Yeah, just be like, I can't jury decide. Constantly. Stop making me try to decide.
And you'd have to be around probably really dodgy people. You can only talk to people in the jury.
Unless it was something really like cut and dry or something where it's like, I don't know, a speeding offence or something. But don't put me on like a murder trial or like anything like that. Just put me on like he robbed a post office and there's CCTV of him doing it and he smiles and puts a thumbs up to the camera. I'm like, all right. That I can deal with, but anything else, I'm like, I can't. It's too much.
See, you want to do that, but I want the full-on murder case. Oh, I would like that. Well, I mean, all in the name of research.
Although you're not allowed to talk about it, so.
Oh, I know. See, that's the thing. I would have to tell somebody.
What I'd seen. You're not allowed to talk about it.
Oh. Take a selfie with the evidence. Person, I mean,
I put this guy down. It was me. I set him down.
Hashtag 25 for life. I'll probably never be conversation. No.
Well, like,
yeah, if the government are listening, I am sorry.
We're upstanding citizens of the United Kingdom. Well, I am anyway. I don't know. I can't speak for you.
Oh, well.
Quite.
No,
good.
I am quite good. But I'd probably be useless. I'm quite.
Good. Yeah, I'm useless. Please. I don't want to do it. It's too stressful. Probably, yeah. That's just the way it works.
Be called up this year.
Like Tuesday morning, I'll be like, you'll be in the sun. Oh, the love of God. I've been called up for jury duty. Unbelievable. You get paid time off work, though. Yes, that's something. I get paid time off. Yeah.
Free meal.
Travel allowance.
Oh, it could be okay. We'll see. Fingers crossed now for jury duty.
Absolutely.
Something good's got to happen. So, shall we?
We shall. We shall. Depart?
Well. It's not like we were going to our death. So thanks to everyone for listening. And if anyone wants to be really nice, if you could like review us on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. I think we only have 7 reviews. Review us some more so we
show
can get
some love, guys. We're poor podcast newbies. Well, I am anyway. Show us some love.
We
are. Hit us up on some socials.
I mean, we're going to have to get sponsored ads soon.
Well, yeah,
just to keep you in beer.
Messages on the socials. Jim will reply because I don't do that stuff. I'm purely a voice.
Emma's here to write the good episodes.
Jim does all the hard work.
I'm in darkness.
You do all the social media. I just show up late. Start. I'm here.
You weren't really that late. It was just a shit. I'm 15 minutes
well, you messaged me and I'm like, oh God, I forgot. I'm like, just getting into Bradford. Like, we're 50 minutes. Thank you.
Is forgiven. Don't worry about it.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. It'll be Emma's episode next week. I'm going to start thinking
quickly about what I'm going to do.
Get one of those big drawing boards up on
the wall. Get like a flip chart or something.
A cord.
Yeah, one of those things where you put pins in it and you like wind the string round and stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. So yeah, everybody, thanks for listening. We really appreciate all the messages saying that. Yeah, I had a message today saying people miss Ollie, but they love Emma. So I thought that was really nice. That was from my friend Sophie.
Thank you for the love. So, and thank you to anyone else who's commented. I'm only on Instagram, so I only see the stuff that gets put on the Instagram page, but anyone who's commented saying that they enjoyed the episodes I've been involved in, thank you very much. Appreciate the love.
Well, you're doing a good job. Thank you. Very good co-host. I'm very honoured. So, yeah, thank you, everybody. And we will be back next week. Yeah.